Of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
So it's an all-age service, so if the children would like to come to the front. That's it, come and grab a seat at the front. So last week was Holy Week, when we remembered all the events to do with Jesus's death and resurrection, his coming back to life again. And we're going to see if we can put these events in the right order, and adults, you're going to need to help with this. So we got 8 different events here. Which of these came first? Now, the clue is we started Holy Week with Palm Sunday. What happened on Palm Sunday? That will be the first of these events. Now, children, you might not get it, but if you've got an idea, Travis? Jesus entered Jerusalem. Is he right? Yes. Absolutely, well done. Okay, the next thing that happened, what happened after that? What do you reckon, Hugh?
Jesus rose again.
Jesus rose again, that's a brilliant one, but not yet. We've got a few more things that happened between him coming into Jerusalem and him rising again, but we'll get to that. In fact, I might ask you about that one a bit later. Okay, so what was the next one, anyone? What do you reckon, Alan? The what say?
Jesus seen by Mary.
No, that's Jesus seen by Mary. That was a good guess. In fact, that may well have happened next, but what I should have put in, Jesus seen by Mary after he rose from the dead. But that was a good guess. Adults, an adult, can you shout out the next one? The Last Supper. Are they right? Yes. Okay. So then what happened? What was the next thing after the Last Supper on there? What do you reckon? Is it Aura?
Jesus arrested and crucified.
Jesus was arrested and crucified. Is that the third thing? Yes, well done. And then what happened after that? What's the next thing on there? Hang on, I'll come back to you because I know you've got one of the answers for sure. Adults? Jesus was died and buried, and then what happened? What happened next, Hugo? Jesus rose again. So the empty tomb was discovered to show that Jesus had risen again. Well done, Hugo. And then what happened? What's the next thing after that, Alan? You might know this one because you said it before. Jesus seen by Mary, absolutely, that's the next thing. Mary, not just, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, we're told, but a little group of probably five women went to the tomb and saw Jesus. And then what happened? What's the next thing that happened? Yeah, go on. Jesus appeared to the disciples. Okay, Jesus appeared to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. He was somewhere else. We don't know where he was, but he wasn't there. And finally, what happened? What's the last thing on this list that brings us up to date with our reading today? Go on, Alan. Yep, Jesus appeared to the disciples and Thomas was there. So it's good just to remember that sequence of events that happened over the course of the week. So how do you think the disciples felt when Jesus was crucified? When they nailed Jesus to a cross, how do you think they felt? Pardon? Scared? Yep, definitely scared. Anything else? How else do you think they might have felt? Gone. Upset, absolutely. Upset, devastated, heartbroken, scared. Anything else? Probably confused, and all kinds of emotions would have been going through their minds and their hearts. How do you think the disciples felt when they realized on that first Easter Sunday that the tomb was empty and some of the women were saying that they'd seen Jesus? The disciples haven't seen Jesus yet, but the women are saying that they've seen Jesus alive. Surprised? Yep, definitely surprised. What else? Confused? Yeah, I think very confused. Surprised, confused. What else? What do you reckon, Hugo? A little bit confused. Yeah, I would say so. So surprised, confused, maybe wanting to be hopeful, but still having doubts as well. So in our reading, it's Easter Sunday still, but it's in the evening, and the disciples know that Jesus' tomb is empty, and they've heard this report from the women that they've seen Jesus alive, but they're still hiding behind locked doors, because they're afraid that the people who killed Jesus will come after them. And at this stage, they want to believe, but they can't quite believe it. They haven't seen it for themselves. They want to believe it, but they can't quite believe it. They're still having doubts. It almost seems too good to be true. Have you ever experienced anything that was like, just seemed too good to be true? That was just so amazing. You thought, wow, is this really happening? And you kind of have to pinch yourself. Well, I want to show you a video. And it's a dog that is reunited with her owner after 3 years. And what happened is this dog got lost and it got taken into an animal shelter. And it took the owner 3 years to find her. Now, I want you to watch what happens in this video very carefully. So maybe we dim the lights and we just watch this video. It's quite a short video. So, did the dog recognize her owner straight away? No. But the dog saw her owner. She saw her owner, but she didn't recognize him straight away. It's like it's too good to be true. It couldn't really be her owner after all these years. And then what was it that made that dog realize that it was her owner? She went up and sniffed him. Absolutely right. She smelt him. And that was the evidence that she needed. And as you saw, then she got more and more excited as the reality sunk in of what was really happening. And it was a bit like that for the disciples. They knew that the tomb was empty. They'd heard reports that Jesus was alive, but they still doubted. They couldn't quite believe it. It was only when Jesus appeared among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands, and he still had the nail marks in his hands. And he showed them his side, and he still had the spear mark in his side where the soldier had stabbed him when he was on the cross. So once they realized, once they had that evidence, they were overjoyed. And I can imagine the disciples, as it sunk in, getting more and more excited about what had happened and what was happening. Out of the 12 disciples, only 10 of them were there. So Judas wasn't there because he had betrayed Jesus. And there was one other. Who else wasn't there? Who else was missing? Travis? Thomas. Absolutely right. Thomas wasn't there. We don't know where Thomas was. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But we can imagine the scene when Thomas came back. You know, and I imagine all the disciples talking at once, getting super excited, telling him Jesus really is alive. But do you know what Thomas said? He said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So you see, a whole week had gone by and the disciples were trying to convince Thomas about what they'd seen. And the verb that's used to say that they were telling Thomas is, it means that they went on telling him. So all week they're trying to convince Thomas that Jesus is alive, but Thomas wouldn't believe them because he hadn't seen it with his own eyes. The world says seeing is believing. You heard that? Seeing is believing. But Jesus says something slightly different. Jesus says, believe, and then you will see. Believe, and then you will see. So a week later, the disciples were gathered, probably in the upper room where Jesus had his last supper with them. And that this time they were all there. Thomas was there. What do you think happened? So the disciples are gathered again in the upper room. They're all there this time. What do you think happened? Any ideas? Any ideas? Jesus appeared among them. So even though the doors were locked, all of a sudden, Jesus was right there among them. And again, he said, peace be with you. And he showed Thomas his hands and he showed Thomas his side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. That was the evidence Thomas needed. He knew that Jesus was alive, and he knew that Jesus was and is God. And then reading from John again, Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So, put your hand up, adults as well, and children, put your hand up if you've ever seen Jesus in the way that I'm seeing you now. No one? Okay. One at the back. But no one. So put your hand up if you've ever been able to reach out and touch Jesus in the way that I could reach out and put my hand on someone's shoulder. No one? Okay. None of us have seen Jesus. None of us have been able to literally touch Jesus, but we still put our hope and our trust in Jesus. And that means we're blessed, according to Jesus, because we believe without seeing. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us, isn't it? We haven't seen Jesus literally stood in front of us, but we believe in Jesus. We put our trust in Jesus. So we're the blessed that Jesus is talking about there. Now, Thomas needed certain kinds of evidence. He needed to see Jesus. He needed to touch him. We don't have that kind of evidence, but there's lots of good reasons for us to put our trust in Jesus. Firstly, we have the Gospels. That's the books in the Bible that talk about Jesus's birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. We have those books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were written by eyewitnesses or people who spoke with eyewitnesses. So Matthew and John were two of Jesus' disciples. So they saw all this happening and they wrote it down. Mark, we believe that the source for Mark was Peter. So in other words, Peter, who was Jesus' best friend, he told Mark all that happened and Mark wrote it down. And then Luke, he spoke to just about everyone. He did a careful investigation. He almost certainly spoke with Mary. He spoke with the disciples. He spoke with all kinds of people who had seen Jesus crucified and then seen him alive again. So we have very good evidence there. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he says that Jesus once appeared to 500 people in one go. Now, we can't speak to any of those 500 people, but when Paul wrote that letter, many of those people were still alive. Paul says so. And they could have asked those people, did Jesus really appear to 500 of you? They'd have said yes. Very easy to verify. So there is good historical evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, we believe lots of things about people that we've never seen, that we've never met, because of what was written about them. That's normal. We believe all sorts of things because of what's been written down. So you may not have heard of this person, but I know the adults will. I want a show of hands, adults, children. Who's heard of Alexander the Great? Who's heard of Alexander the Great? Okay, so most of the adults have heard of Alexander the Great, some of the children. Who's ever seen Alexander? Anyone seen Alexander the Great? Anyone had a chat with him? No? Okay. Alexander the Great lived hundreds of years before Jesus, and he had a huge empire. Next one, who's ever heard of Julius Caesar? Put your hand up if you've heard of Julius Caesar. Okay, some of the children, a few of the adults, have heard of Julius Caesar. Anyone met Julius Caesar? Anyone? No? No one's met Julius Caesar. Okay. Well, he lived just before Jesus, probably just a generation before Jesus. So he lived quite close to that time. Okay. Who's heard? And Julius Caesar had a huge empire as well. That's the area in red in Europe. Okay. Last one. Genghis Khan. Put your hand up if you've ever heard of Genghis Khan. Okay. Most people here have heard of Genghis Khan. Who's met him? No, still no one. No one's met Genghis Khan. He lived about 800 years ago. And he also had a huge empire. So we've got three very famous people there from history. We know about them. We know about the things they did. And we rely on what's been written down about them. We don't have any problem believing any of that. What did they all have in common? What did I say about each of those three? They all had huge empires, absolutely right. But, you know, all three of those famous people, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Genghis Khan, they all died hundreds or even thousands of years ago, and their empires crumbled. Their empires don't exist anymore. They're not there. Another word for empire is kingdom. And Jesus came to build a kingdom, not one based on land or riches or armies, but a kingdom that grows in our hearts when we make Jesus the king of our lives. When we make Jesus king of our lives, his kingdom grows in our hearts and in the world around us. Jesus is alive today and his kingdom is still growing. That's why people are still putting their faith in Jesus today, 2,000 years later. Jesus' kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And it keeps growing because Jesus' Holy Spirit is at work in the world. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And every time somebody becomes a Christian, even today, it is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in their heart and in their life. Do you know that you probably remember from the Christmas story that Jesus came from a poor family? He didn't have any money. He wasn't a politician. He had no sort of political power. He didn't have an army. The religious leaders of the day, they hated him. He never wrote anything down. And yet 2,000 years later, his kingdom continues to grow. I mean, that can only be a work of the Holy Spirit. There's no one else in history that kind of fits this category. No one else has ever done this. Now, I know that I can trust Jesus because when I invited Jesus into my life, he changed me and my life for the better. And he continues to change me and my life. And that's been the experience of millions and millions, if not billions, of Christians throughout the ages. There are lots of good reasons for us to put our faith in Jesus. I've talked about a few of them today. And John wrote this gospel. John wrote all this down so that we might believe in Jesus and receive his wonderful gift of everlasting life. Verses 30 to 31 say this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, there's only so much that we can put into a book or a sermon. You know, I think this is the biggest book, apart from the Bible, this is the biggest book that I've got in my house. It's the biggest one I could find. It's called War and Peace. It's 1,358 pages, and you can see it's tiny print as well. So this is a huge book. Now, I've been a Christian for nearly 20 years. I gave my life to Jesus at the age of about 28. And this book, this big book, would be nowhere near big enough to contain all that I've seen and experienced to convince me that Jesus is alive. And that's just one person. The very last words of John's gospel say this: Jesus did many things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Jesus is alive, and he continues to do wonderful things in the world. He continues to do wonderful things in our lives. So the number of books that you would need to write it all down is growing all the time. The evidence is mounting. One more thing. Three times in that passage, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." It's a peace that only Jesus can offer. A life-changing peace between us and God that lasts forever. So peace be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that some things almost seem too good to be true. We see from the disciples that that was their reaction to the resurrection. It could be our reaction to the resurrection. But we recognize, Lord, that the evidence is there. Not just the historic evidence from the Gospels and the church for the last 2,000 years, but the evidence of you at work in our lives today. So many testimonies of what you've done and are doing. And we pray that we'll see many more of these. And we pray, Father, that you continue to strengthen our faith, that we might commit our lives to you completely and hand over every area of our lives to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.